This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All right, joining us today, we welcome Chelan County Commissioner Bob Ugert, who is going to be part of the process next week with some discussions that starts on the future of vacation rentals in Chelan County, particularly with a focus up in the Leavenworth area, up in Manson, and why wouldn't people want to come visit those beautiful parts of our county?
Place. Yep, indeed. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. Yep. And Bob, you know, you certainly can understand people have some property in those parts of the county. The explosion of vacation rentals. I'm going to be going over to a place out on the coast. I used Airbnb. It's such a convenient tool. There are other of these resources, and you know, you can understand why people might have some property, want to take advantage of this beautiful place we live in. But there is obviously management of this, and a neighbor who lives nearby is saying, hey, it's getting out of hand. So let's, you know, that's kind of a basic look at the issue. Where are we at right now with the situation up in Leavenworth? That's kind of your neck of the county. Commissioner England covers up in the Manson area, but maybe describe what has brought us to the process, which is going to get underway next week.
Yeah, well, thanks for the opportunity to describe this here, Dave. Yeah, so it's been a process that the commission has been discussing for a while, and we have had lots of good, what we call town hall meetings, Dave, in those areas that you mentioned, Manson, Chelan, Leavenworth, actually down in Malaga, Peshaston, Plain, all those areas, and having some really good informal dialogue amongst the community members, both those folks that do own places that are available for rental and those folks that have concerns. And it has been a fairly productive dialogue, and really for us to get a better understanding of the scope of the situation. Clearly, there is a tremendous economic benefit, Dave, from having these short-term rentals within our community here. And it provides a unique opportunity for people to rent their homes on a short-term basis to those families that would prefer to be in a home-style setting rather than a motel. And, you know, I have to relate myself. My family does it a lot. Every Thanksgiving we have our family get together, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to be together. And it is a great opportunity that it provides. There are quite a few, Dave, within the unincorporated areas of Chelan County, and that's what the three commissioners now are looking at, strictly the unincorporated areas. And the best guess right now, based upon some estimates, it's between 14 and perhaps 1,800 short-term rentals within that area. And by short-term rentals, the definition that was set by the state in the statute is anything 30 days or fewer would be considered a short-term rental. And indeed, there are some really well-managed, well-operated short-term rental managers that are really very conscientious and responsive and really running good businesses that are of great economic benefit to our community. But there are some that are lesser so, and perhaps are not being respectful of particular neighborhoods or situations there. And so we need to come up with an approach that really respects and perhaps even promotes the good businesses that are operating well, because they do provide great economic benefit and a service to our community here. But we also need to come up with a way to better manage and perhaps control those short-term rentals that are not respectful of the neighbor's needs, and perhaps are creating somewhat of a challenge for us.
Now, as far as these, you know, somebody owns a house and it is constantly being rented out as a vacation rental, In that kind of a situation, that's like a business. In that setting, do those people, those owners that own those, do they have to pay like a motel or a lodging tax, like someone who owns, the Anziani Inn does?
Yes.
Maybe not on that scale, or maybe even a different kind of a rate or something. But do they contribute to a tax base with the revenue that they're collecting?
Yeah, they actually do, Dave. And actually, that was why our commission, the Chelan County Commission, now held off for a while as far as addressing this, because the state legislature actually dealt with it this session here. And they passed a bill that the governor did sign into law that actually does mandate registration of these short-term rentals and then the payment of the local and state taxes. So it's all registered through the State Department of Revenue, or it will be once the law is enacted.
Well, what's not working? Or is it fair to characterize it that way?
There are some things that we think that can be done to help us out here, and that's where we're going to start having that dialogue. So we do have this session coming up, Dave, next Tuesday, June 4th. Actually, it's out at Confluence Technology Center from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We're going to have a public work session. It's not an actual opportunity for testimony, public testimony. We will have that later. But we're going to hear from our community development director, Dave Kuhl, who we directed him and his staff to look at what works well in other communities. You know, this is, Dave, as I'm sure you know, something that's happening nationwide. And many different communities are responding to it in different ways. And each community has its own unique characteristics that we need to make sure that we accommodate. So we're going to start hearing that from our community development director and having some discussion about what would work best. How do we support and promote those short-term rental operators that do work well and play by the books and are respectful of the community's needs, but also to address some of the more challenging ones? It's always a challenge.
We're talking with Chelan County Commissioner Bob Boogert, and the goal here is to not overly regulate, limit anyone from being able to get into this sort of business. Because we're a playground.
We're increasingly a tourist economy. Yes, and so we need to be very mindful of that. And you know, Dave, I think it's. We've had some good discussions. There is a very well-organized professional group here, the Chelan County Vacation Rentals Professionals, that have specifically asked to speak to the commission, and they came in, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Dave, and they really provided some context as far as what they themselves as a professional organization can do and to basically self-regulate. And, you know, in an ideal world, that's what we want. We don't want to create additional regulation, but we do want to get a handle on this situation, because there are those professionals that do manage their places well, as I said, but we need to come up with an approach for those that do not. And we do think that there are some options that can be considered that have been employed in other communities, and so we're learning from that. Yeah.
Well, there is going to be a study session Tuesday, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Confluence Technology Center, and then there's going to be a workshop coming up. That's set for, I believe, a public hearing coming up before the Planning Commission.
That's not until July. But we'll be doing lots of work between then and now and then. And really what we're doing right now is really transitioning from what we had was a very informal process there, where we're having these town hall meetings and having dialogue with community members, and moving more into the actual process of looking at specific code, its applicability, how it would be financed, and then having some actual public testimony on the pros and cons of that. And the three commissioners then will be having much more of a formal public dialogue about what do we think we ought to do. And I certainly cannot speak as far as perspective on behalf of the three of us, because we have not had that dialogue. But I can certainly tell you that the three commissioners are committed to addressing this issue, that we receive enough complaints, if you will, from folks that we feel compelled that we need to address that. And, you know, it's one of those things I really have to say, Dave, that this is obviously a very contentious issue within our county, and we're getting a lot of complaints and a lot of concerns on both sides, those that are very much in favor of short-term rentals and those that are very, very concerned about it. But I really have to say our community is really, the joy of our community is that it's been very civil dialogue. People have been very respectful. They're very passionate about what it is that they have got going on. But they are open to dialogue and their willingness to really look at options. And so I'm hopeful that we can have that kind of dialogue as we get into the formal process here and to really look at what options are practical, affordable, and actually accomplish what needs to be done.
That Tuesday meeting out at the Confluence Technology Center will also include, I believe, a hearing on how do we kind of balance what maybe snowmobilers want to do up in the Stamilt Basin and maybe the folks that like to do a little cross-country skiing, maybe a little bit more of some of the quieter pursuits. And that's always been a balance. And so that discussion is going on. There's the Chelan County Commissioners considering the Stamilt Squilchuck Recreation Plan. And right now there's some negotiation going on there.
That's correct. Yeah. And so that actually is a public testimony there, public hearing. We had our first public hearing session, Dave, just last Tuesday evening, and it was reasonably well attended, and folks again very passionate about that issue. And again, this is, you know, a situation, the dynamic between motorized and non-motorized winter recreation is something that's playing out across all of the Western United States, not just here. And but I think there's a lot of that we've got going for us. Our Natural Resources Department did a very fine job of working with the community, the Stamilt Partnership there, to and within a broader context of within North Central Washington, to solicit ideas and look at the impacts upon wildlife, look at the areas that are sensitive to irrigation and some of the farming, the orchards up there, that we need to be mindful of that, where the elk critical elk habitat is, coming up with a plan for where winter travel can be and summer travel, recreation travel can be. And they came up with a plan that, by and large, is a consensus. And it's one of those classic things with a consensus. People, they're not totally happy with it on both sides, but they're willing to live with it. And so that's what we're trying to come up with. I have to really give a shout-out to Aaron McKay of the the Natural Resources Department that facilitated that process. Do have a good plan. This is the second of the two public testimonies that we'll be hearing. That will be at the Confluence Technology Center as well, again on Tuesday, and that one goes from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And so we will be, this will be the last time we'll be taking public testimony on that. And then the Board of Commissioners, we will probably make our decision based upon those testimonies the following week. I believe it's June 10th, something along that line. So it's an important thing, and I think it's a good template for how we deal with recreation management throughout the county, Dave. And so it'll be good.
The Confluence Technology Center, do you think you've got enough room for all the people that that may want to comment on this?
Well, that'll be interesting, yeah. Certainly we had a pretty good turnout for the winter the recreation plan for the Stamilt Squilchuck the first go-round. I think we all agree, the three commissions agree, that there'll probably be pretty big turnout for the short-term rentals because it is there's a lot of people that are very passionate about that issue. And so we'll see what we can do as far as accommodating it. We are very committed to making sure that people do hear our deliberations, that we're totally transparent as far as how we come up with our rule setting for this. And when it gets to be the public testimony time, we will give ample opportunity for those folks that want to provide their perspective, their concerns, ideas. We welcome that.
Well, we're talking with Chelan County Commissioner Bob Bugert. You've got about 5 months in. Almost exactly five months in. Has the post been everything you imagined it would be?
It is what I had expected. It is certainly a whirlwind. My learning curve is very steep, the work itself is as I had expected. You know, Dave, I worked with commissioners enough through the years in previous roles, and so I knew what I was getting into, and it's very rewarding. I am just delighted over the professionalism of the staff at Chelan County, and they've been so very helpful for me and to help me get up to speed. I really enjoy working with my colleagues, Kevin Overbay and Doug England. I think there's good chemistry, good dialogue, and really a commitment to serve in our community amongst those folks there. So it's just a joy to work with them. And it's, I got a lot to learn yet, though. That's for sure.
All right. Any final thoughts before we let you go today?
No, I appreciate this opportunity to share this with the community, because I know this is the short-term rentals issue is of concern to many. And so for us to be able to have this type of opportunity to reach out to folks in the community and share where the commission's at, you're doing us a great service there, Dave. So thank you.
Well, thanks for being here on short notice. We only tried to reach out to you just yesterday.
It worked out well.
Hope there was a slot. The commissioners, of course, should generally meet Monday through Wednesday,
yes,
and often have meetings on Thursday. And to be able to slide you in for today is great. So thanks for being available to us. Again, on Tuesday, the 4th, there's going to be a meeting to discuss start the ball rolling, really, on addressing vacation rentals. No public testimony on that. That's from 3 to 5, the Confluence Technology Center. And then from 6 until 8 p.m., discussion, another of a second public hearing now,
yes,
on what to do up in the Stamilton and Squilchuck Recreation Plan, balancing motorized and non-motorized use. And so you're going to have a busy afternoon.
You got a full day. Yep.
Plus the regular commission meeting earlier in the day on Tuesday.
Day.
So bring lunch and dinner.
Yeah, have our vitamins.
Yep. Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Bob Bugert, joining us today on The Agenda. When we come back, we'll take a look at our forest recreation report with Robin DeMario from the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest. 12:33 now on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, kpq.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Oh, and don't forget now our new news tip or traffic report text line sponsored by Plum Perfect. It's not done right until it's done Plum Perfect. Text us at 663-5139. That's 663-5139, the Plum Perfect text line. By the way, for the last several weeks, you've been hearing about great support of veterans by Denny's of Wenatchee. They've just decided to quadruple the prize for the winning veteran of the Denny's Honoring Our Heroes photo sweepstakes, because, by the way, today is the deadline. The winning veteran will now receive a free meal every day for the next year. That's right. That's over a $3,000 value. So don't miss out on an opportunity to support a favorite veteran or active duty personnel, too, with free food every day for a year at Denny's in Wenatchee. All you have to do is submit a photo of your favorite veteran on our KPQ AM contest page today. That's on kpq.com. You can also get to that through our Facebook page. The sweepstakes closes tonight at 9 p.m. Okay, so 9 p.m. is the deadline on that, if you'd like to enter your favorite veteran. And just by entering, by the way, you can win a $25 gift card at Denny's in Wenatchee. News Radio 560 KPQ, and time to check in with our next guest. Robin DeMario with us from the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest as we finish up May here. What's the important thing to remember when it comes to campfire danger right now, Robin?
Well, May is Wildfire Awareness Month, so to finish out the month, we want to remind people that when they have a campfire, whether they're in an established campground where there's a fire ring, or whether they're camping in a dispersed recreation site, please always remember to completely extinguish your campfire before leaving your campsite and never leave a campfire unattended. You know, weather conditions are warming up and grasses are drying out, making them very susceptible to burn in a wildfire. So please, we're just going to start this season with making sure folks put their campfires completely out before they leave their campsites.
Well, last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, ended up, we spoke before that, and it appeared that it was going to be a fairly nice weekend. As it turns out, I think maybe a lot of people's Memorial Day weekend turned into a rainout. Monday ended up nice, but that's often the pack it up and go home day. But ended up pretty soggy. Did you hear any reports? Were the campgrounds fairly lightly populated?
I never did hear any reports. Even when we have poor weather, people still tend to come over and recreate. But I didn't hear whether everything was 100% full or not. I'm sorry.
Well, they come all this way, and often, I guess, maybe to make the best of it. Right now, for the camping opportunities on the forest, it's probably as good as it gets, because later on in the season, we do get into these situations where there are campfire restrictions. So while you caution, we always need to be taking all the precautions, we don't have any campfire restrictions just yet.
That's correct. Right now, springtime is a great time for folks who want to do different things in the national forest, whether you're wood cutting or camping or whatever. You know, camping, you can't have a campfire right now, and in wood cutting, there are no restrictions that aren't normally in place. So springtime is a great time to go to the national forest. As you go further into the summer, it gets hotter and drier, and that's when those campfire restrictions go into effect, sometimes limiting the use of campfires and limiting whether people can go get their firewood.
Now, we mentioned when we spoke to you last week that there are still some campgrounds that have suffered, particularly up the Eniad, from the Cougar Creek fire. Some of the a portion of some campgrounds still suffer impacts from the Cougar Creek fire last year. Are those impacts likely to last all summer long, or are we making, or is there any progress being made on getting some of those portions of the campgrounds that are still damaged under repair?
Well, I know that we have crews coming on back to work. We have not only our trail crews, but our road crews and other folks, our recreation folks who do maintain some of those campgrounds. So as those folks come back to work, they're assessing what damage maybe occurred over the winter or damage that was left over from the Cougar Creek fire. And as they look at those things, then they plan out, they put a list together where they're going to be putting their efforts first. So it just depends on that list, how long it is, and where most of the projects may be happening and where they can most effectively get the work accomplished.
Are we still going to be in the prescribed burn season here for a while? Will that be something from time to time that we'll be hearing about or seeing, I guess?
Our prescribed fire program is pretty much done for the springtime. There's a small window of opportunity that we take advantage of when we have it to be able to burn. That's when weather's good and the fuels on the forest floor aren't too green, they're still dried from the winter, and so most of the opportunities now have diminished somewhat. There might still be one or two small areas where we might be able to go in and do some prescribed burning, but our larger projects for the spring have ended.
We're talking with Robin DeMario from the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest. Again, make sure that you're not heading out onto Still muddy trails. Imagine that those higher elevation trails were continuing to see the snow melt out and may still encounter some conditions that folks should avoid causing any damage.
Sure. There is still snow at our higher elevation trails, like you mentioned. I know a lot of people enjoy going into the Enchantments area of the Alpine Lakes Wilderness, but if you go, even think about going up to Cold Chalk Lake, there's still snow on the trail, and there's snow around the lake. Last the report was that the lake was still about 75% ice covered. So our higher elevation trails and lakes do have ice and snow on them, and that's something to keep in mind when you're planning your trip. It's still a little bit early to get into those backcountry areas that are higher up in elevation, but you can access some of those trails that are definitely lower elevation and those trails that are on the sides of the hills. They get a lot of sunlight. They're definitely melted out. So think about that as you're planning your trip into the National Forest.
Okay, I think with confidence we can say it will be sunny and hot this weekend. I don't think we're going to get any rainouts, it would appear, this weekend. So folks that enjoy the woods, but be prepared for some awfully warm temperatures and dress appropriately. And I imagine we're starting to see more bug hatch in the woods as well, right?
Mosquitoes, always go prepared with some kind of mosquito repellent or long sleeves, long pants, if you're going to be recreating, especially near areas that are, you know, by water or marshy areas, things like that. And you want the sunscreen, like you said, it's going to be hot. So bring a hat and bring sunscreen so you don't get sunburn. And remember, drink lots of water. Sometimes when these hot weekends pop up, when we've had cooler temperatures, we forget to drink that water and keep ourselves hydrated. And make sure you look for signs in your group, and some, especially kids. They will go 100 miles an hour and just enjoy, and sometimes forget to drink. So make sure that they also stay hydrated.
Take a cell phone so you don't end up like that yoga instructor hiker in Hawaii. Thankfully, she was found.
Well, true, and you know, there are many places in the National Forest where cell phone coverage doesn't work. So it's really important that you leave your trip itinerary with someone that you trust at home, even two people, so that if you don't come home on the date and time that you said you were going to, they can then put into place some rescue efforts to try and track you down, and they'll have a really good idea of where to look for you because you've left that information with them.
Well, did we cover all the bases that you wanted to remind folks of heading into what looks like it's going to be a great weekend on the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest?
Well, one thing, with the warmer temperatures, we are getting a little bit of snow melt, and so rivers and creeks and streams are running a little bit higher, and so it's really important to keep an eye on children, especially when you're recreating near water. And even though the rivers may look calm, there's some pretty strong currents, and maybe even some sudden drop-offs if you're entering the water. And, you know, it may not look like it's moving fast, but it is. And also, when you're pitching your tent, don't put it right near the water's edge, because stream flows normally peak around nighttime, and that's when you're asleep, and you don't want that water, if it is going to, you know, raise in level to invade your tent, let's say. So it's a good idea to pitch your tent away from the edge of the stream or river.
That's an interesting tip. I've never thought of that, but then I'm a babe in the woods, you might call me. So, all righty. Robin, thanks for joining us with some very helpful tips on the Okanagan-Wenatchee National Forest.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Well, by the way, I guess you could say this buds for you and Grand County Fire District Number 3, Anheuser-Busch, going to be donating water ahead of the worst part of the summer wildfire season. It's part of the National Volunteer Fire Council donation to the 25 most vulnerable markets in the country, and it's part of a rapid response approach to volunteer fire departments nationwide. Grant County Fire District 3, the only only a fire district in Washington State that's going to get basically their cans of their beer cans with water in them. So that's a big supplement to help out the firefighters, again, in Grant County Fire District Number 3, thanks to the generosity of Anheuser-Busch. A lot of water. Dehydration could result in decreased physical and mental performance, according to Anheuser-Busch, and that's certainly a serious concern when lives are on the line. So that's why they put that program together, to help out volunteer firefighters, and a wonderful gesture, and congratulations to Grant County Fire District 3 getting that. News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:49.